This past week, we have the summer retreat, and we reviewed the summer retreat we had. God showed a lot of signs and wonders, but above all, He gave us heavenly breeze so that we wouldn't feel very hot in this, we wouldn't feel hot at all in this very hot weather. And He showed us so many other things, especially during these days, He's showing us the heart-shaped clouds. And there were so many divinating testimonies. And during the first night session, God kept us so that we didn't get wet. He wouldn't let it rain, even though there was a forecast of rain. And around the area, it rained a lot, except the place we had the summer retreat. So you could check in the, you could see it in the Man Min magazine video. And it was the same during the campfire. They were coming from Seoul to Muju during, while the campfire was going on. So they were in a kind of hurry. And they were surprised that they were worried that maybe they wouldn't be able to have a campfire because of the heavy rain. But when they actually reached the Muju, it didn't rain at all. So summer retreat location, it didn't rain at all. So in the Friday Manmin magazine video this week, you'll be able to see these videos that God was protecting us like the land of Goshen, and she showed us a lot of signs and wonders, and I hope you will be filled with. So the previous video, was it? So when they came near Muju, it was raining so hard, but in our actual retreat location, we didn't have any rain. And you should keep this happiness in mind. You shouldn't forget about this. And let us remember the love of God. Give thanks to God again and again. This is the last session of Blameless and Innocent. To be blameless and innocent is to be pure and perfect and to have clean vessel of heart which is filled with spiritual fruits. I explained, the Lord did not quarrel nor cry out, and then no one heard His voice in the streets. I also talked about the spiritual meaning of the phrases, battered reed and smoldering wick, and until He leads justice to victory. So in this session, I'll elaborate on the attitudes of the Lord who did not quarrel nor cry out, and then no one heard His voice in the streets. So you can understand that the Lord is so beautiful. But that is not it. You will understand that the Lord is blameless and innocent, and through His blamelessness and innocence, we were saved, we are changed, and the shepherd is leading us with the attitude of the Lord. So you can apply it to your own life. So we received so much love from the Lord. And in our God-given duties, we should also act in blamelessness and innocence. The blamelessness of the Lord is seen, and blamelessness and innocence was seen in Matthew chapter 4 when Jesus was talking to the Samaritan woman. You know, the Jews, they didn't even interact with the Samaritans. This woman had her 5 men, but the one who she was living with, he was not really her husband. She couldn't get any real comfort. Even though nobody told him, Jesus already knew about our past and present. She knew that she was betrayed by many men, and she suffered a lot, and she was not happy. Now, so her life was a mess. It was a, of course, tough life. And other people, they judged her. Maybe they pointed some fingers at her. But Jesus didn't do that. He had mercy on her broken heart, wounded heart, and he comforted her heart. She didn't have anybody to rely on. She didn't have anybody to turn to. And Jesus gave her the eternal water. So it is the way of blessing that she could believe and meet the Messiah. People judge by appearance. They don't understand the background. They don't understand the heart and attitude, the real intentions of people. They just judge people by the appearance. But Jesus had mercy on this woman who was living a wretched life, and he comforted her. So was the case with Mary Magdalene. Just as in the Bible, people thought she was a sinner. But the Lord didn't dislike her, but he had shown mercy on her. So she gained a new life, so she followed Jesus until the moment of his crucifixion. And also in Matthew chapter 9, Jesus ate in the house of Matthew, who was a tax collector. At that time, Jews, Judea, Israel was under the Roman Empire's governance, under Roman rules, and people were kind of oppressed. And the tax collectors, they were collecting tax for the Roman Empire, so people hated them. But Jesus didn't pass judgment on them just looking at the appearance. The first step to change somebody else is to understand their heart. Without understanding their heart, if you say, I love you, it's not true love. If you don't understand why they are doing what they are doing, even if you don't understand why they are making mistakes, now, then you should understand. And without understanding those things, you can't really help them change. First, you have to really understand them as to why they are doing what they are doing so that you can actually help them. And oh, of course, in principle, that's what the senior pastor is doing to us. In principle, oh, you have to do this, you have to do that. Many people can say that, but he is giving us detailed instructions as to how we can cast away sins. Maybe you are inflicted, you feel inflicted because of so many sins you committed, but you don't go out to the world, but you go to senior pastor. Before senior pastor, even though it's not really one-on-one, then what does he do to us? How does he? Of course, he points out sins very clearly. He's not like he never takes easy. He never takes the sins easy. So he sternly always warns us about sins. So he always points out the fact that I always explain to you that if you commit these sins, you will go to hell, and why would you commit these sins? But after that, he doesn't stop there at all, never stops there after pointing out the sins clearly. He shows them the way of repentance. And he explains about the goodness of heaven. And he gives us strength, encouraging us that we can do it. So he takes away, he pays the price of sins on our behalf. He understands the heart of those who don't want to commit sins but do actually commit sins, the afflicted heart. And he has pity on those hearts, on those people, and he teaches us again and again. And he warns us against sins again and again. This is how he changed our hearts. And to learning his heart, it took a lot of time. But now we understand his heart, his love. So we can also, you should also try to change ourselves, and also about other people. We have to be patient with them. We have to encourage them, give them advice, which is filled with love, so that they can also change. Jesus comforted the hearts of those who are suffering, those, even the sinners. He didn't just dislike them or hated them, but he tried to change them all the time. But of course, if you hang out with those people who are criticized by the people, then you are judged and condemned in the same way. You are not an evil person, you are not a criminal, but if you try to change them, if you teach them, if you hang out with them, sometimes you have to feed them, clothe them, help them financially, and you treat them well. When you do that, those other people, they might judge you and condemn you just by looking at the fact that you hang out with those people. It was a case at the time of Jesus, and it is a case today. But Jesus didn't care about those criticism of the people, groundless criticism. He looked at the inner heart of the people. He didn't look at the appearances, and he tried to save even just one more soul. He tried to save even the souls who were in really wretched situations. He was not afraid of other people's accusations. So he only acted in goodness. He understands the heart of the people. Psalm 51 verse 5 says, "Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin my mother conceived me." So people, everybody is born with the original sin, and they are living in this world controlled by the enemy devil and Satan, and they become increasingly more evil. So they get stained by increasingly more evil. And Jesus understood this fact. There are some people who can show rough actions and words. And Jesus understood that, and he had mercy on them. So he didn't pass judgment or condemnation on them, but he tried to fix their broken heart. That is why he stayed with those people. How about us? If other people commit sins, how can they do that? How can the leaders do that? I trusted them. And how can they do that? And you get disappointed and you pass judgment and condemnation. But our Lord had mercy on those of us who are not perfect. If we just repent, He is pleased. He is happy. And He always shows us His love. So we were changed by that kind of love. So let us be able to check ourselves. When you realize your sin, you pray about it. And yesterday you pray, and today you don't change. You stay the same. Then how pitiful this is. I believe you have that kind of experience often. You know it is sin, so you repent with tears and you try to change yourself in prayers. And yet, you still have your old habits. Why? Because old habits die hard. And the sinful natures are in you. It's you. But when we repeatedly repent and try to cast away sins again and again, again and again, and time and again. And Jesus is patient with us. So we have received this kind of grace from the Lord. So that is why we have to show the same kind of grace to other people as well. That's what our senior pastor did. When he brought down great forgiveness from God, that's what he did. He didn't condemn the people who committed sins. He just had mercy and pity on the people who were committing sins. In this world is so full of sins. All kinds of songs, TV shows, videos, internet, everything is about sex and violence. In the past, they couldn't even imagine these things, but now it is something natural. And people are living in this kind of world. These young people, they are born into this world and they don't even know what sins are. And they don't even know sins are sins. So they are stained by these sins without knowing. So when they were being stained by sins in this way, senior pastor didn't pass judgment on them, but he understood them. I believe you remember that he said, the world has become so obscene, so sensual. And they are born in this world and they watch these sensual things, obscene things, adult materials, and they don't even know that having this relationship is sin. They don't even know that they are sins. So when the senior pastor came to know about these sins, he taught about sins and pleaded with them with tears, and he took the responsibility. And he prayed. He interceded before God. So this forgiveness didn't just come to us for no reason. He understood the reason why we had to commit, we were apt to commit these sins. So he understood this generation. So he had mercy on us, pity on us, and he interceded for us. He didn't just pray, but he took the responsibility of his intercession. He took the responsibility. He paid the price of our sins. So this is what he did. And this is how what he's teaching. So through his love, we were changed. We were born in this sinful world. We committed sins without knowing sins are sins. So the Lord understood us. And he harbored us. For that reason, he took the cross for us. And with the same kind of heart, our shepherd is helping us, taking care of us. So we were born in sins. In sin, my mother conceived me. So we were born in sins, and the Lord had mercy on us. The senior pastor gave us the allegory of the parents who have children who have gone astray. Suppose they're troublemakers. And there are two kinds of parents. One, they say to their children, you know what I've gone through to raise you, and how can you do this to me? Why do you have to do everything that I say, that I tell you not to do? And why do you have to be troublemakers all the time? So these parents, they sometimes hate their children. Sometimes they do that. Maybe if they make a mistake once or twice, they wouldn't hate it. But if they make troubles 5 times, 10 times, 20 times, continually, and they're not even sorry. And they just keep on doing what they're doing. Then this kind of a discouragement, broken heart, will turn into hatred. So the parents, they don't want to have anything to do with their children. If their children, if they are grown up adults, if they become nobody to each other. But those who are good-hearted, those parents who are good-hearted, they feel sorry. And they are sorry that their children are troublemakers. They say, oh, if I understood you more, if I spent more time with you, you wouldn't have gone astray, and it is my fault, so please forgive me. So, what kind of heart do you have? Which kind of parents would you want to be? And which case does have more, which case has more chance of their children turning away, becoming good? The latter, of course, the latter. If the parents love them, feel sorry, and say sorry and that they didn't raise them properly, if they supply them with more love, then these children will be good. There's more chance that they will be good. So that's what the Lord did. It's not that people commit sins because Lord's love is not enough. And yet, He has endless and limitless mercy and love. And His love was not just in words. It was shown in action. Matthew chapter 9 verse 10 says, "Then it happened that as Jesus was reclining at the table in the house, behold, many tax collectors and sinners came and were dining with Jesus and His disciples." So, the Lord stayed with those who were neglected, those who were in need, and those who were called sinners. He taught the truth to them. So when people were criticizing Him, didn't Jesus know about it? Of course He knew. But He did it anyway. You know, looking at other people's good work, if you criticize them, it's just something very evil. Just by looking at the appearance, just by the fact, looking at the fact that they are hanging out with those who are neglected and those who are evil, people condemn them, judge them. Even at the time of Jesus, even today, just by being with those who are criticized, even though they have good intention, they are criticized by the people. And we shouldn't pass judgment in this way. Even at the time of Jesus, those who were evil, seeing the love and goodness of Jesus, they were saying that they were enjoying eating and drinking, and they are friends of tax collectors and sinners. When did Jesus enjoy wine and eating and drinking? Of course, He didn't eat a lot. He didn't drink at all. He was walking all throughout Israel, so He was very skinny. And the disciples, you know, when they were eating, Peter would bring the bread to Jesus first. And Jesus took just a little bit and then gave it to the disciples. And they were criticizing Jesus, saying, they were slandering Jesus in this way. And to those who were criticizing them, He said in Matthew chapter 9, verses 12 to 13, but when Jesus heard this, He said, "It is not those who are healthy who need a physician, but those who are sick. But go and learn what this means. I desire compassion and not sacrifice, for I did not come to call the righteous, but sinners." He didn't directly point out their sins, but He tried to let them understand. Even though Jesus was being criticized by the people, He didn't hesitate to go near the sinners. He tried to fix their hearts, turn their hearts. He guided them to the way of eternal life. But some people, they look at the sinners with a compassionate heart, but they hesitate to lead them to the way of salvation. Because if they stay with these people, they could be criticized or slandered, gossiped about. So let us check our hearts. Senior pastor said, when he first accepted the Lord and was living in Gumodong area, in the church he was going, the pastor planned to come to the restaurant the Mrs. Lee was running, because they registered in the church. If Mrs. Lee stayed at home during the day, he could have come to the house, but she was running a restaurant. So in the restaurant, she was selling alcohol too, because there were many people who were construction laborers. You know, while they were eating, you know, many of them, they take a bottle of soju or some liquor or makgeolli. So because she was running a restaurant in that kind of area where many laborers were living, so because she was selling alcohol, the pastor didn't want to come to the restaurant to visit her. He just came to the back door without letting anybody see, without even having a worship service. He just prayed for her and went. She just accepted the Lord. She is just a new believer. And she came to a church. And he should have welcomed her warmly, so warmly. And even though she was selling some alcohol, he could have explained about it. Of course, I'm not saying the pastors, they shouldn't say in the first meeting to the new believers, newcomers, they say, oh, this is not pleasing God and you have to change your occupation. No, I'm not saying you should say those things. But of course, until, you know, they have to gain faith, until they are able to do it by themselves, when they don't know the truth. You know, but in case of that pastor, there is this newcomer to the church and he was worried about his reputation in the church. So he wasn't making a good visitation. So he was watching the people, and that is not what God is pleased with. So what we have to think about here, so what kind of, that you should never pass judgment. So that pastor, he worried about the fact that he might be criticized by the people. He was worried because of the judgment of the people. So, we should never pass judgment. If he say other people are evil, then God will say we are more evil. So passing judgment, it's such a great evil and sin. So we should never judge others in any case. Even though others are judging us, suppose other people are judging us. Nevertheless, we should not hesitate doing good, and we should not try to watch the people and not God. You know what we do? Suppose it is something good and God is pleased with it. But other people, they might not understand it. Then if we hesitate, it is not really pleasing in the sight of God. But of course, we need to be generosity and virtue. We need to have generosity and virtue so that maybe other people can understand it too. Maybe we can teach them. Let them understand. So, if you just watch people, if you're afraid of being judged by people with that kind of fleshly thought, if you don't do what is good, then that is not really something good. So, senior pastor gave us this allegory. Suppose somebody is in a swamp. You say to him, oh, please come out. You'll die there. That is not something. In a swamp, it is not water. It is not just a... it is not a water. So in the swamp, you can never get out by yourself. You know, even in water, you can, you know, when it is over your height, maybe they can even walk on the, maybe like something like a swimming pool. You can walk and come out. But swamp, you can never get out by yourself. The more you move, the more you're pulled down, and you can never get out. So what do you have to do? You have to stretch out your hand or stretch out a stick or rod or something so you can pull him out of there. But you just stand there, stand outside. Just come out, hurry. Come out. Suppose you're just telling him, this is not either goodness or love. So what is it called? What kind of person would do that? That is, they are worried about the reputation of other people. They are worried about the judgment of other people. Just because you hang out and stay with those sinners, those who are neglected. So you are worried about other people's reputation. So it's like, it's same as, you know, telling those who are neglected, just come out of there without really helping them. So God might even hold you responsible at the day of judgment because you didn't help them. Suppose you are trying to, you stretch out your hand to a person in a swamp and you're pulling him, but your strength is not enough. Maybe you'll be dragged in together. But if you have love, you won't be afraid of that. Suppose parents, when their own children, they are in a swamp, they're in danger, and they don't worry about themselves being in danger. They don't think about themselves. They just, they don't worry about, oh, I'll be in danger too. They just try to save their little children. They just put themselves into the situation. So this is true love. So that's the kind of love we have to have. But some people, they're worried that if they hold the hands of those who are in swamp, maybe they get dirty. And they're worried. And they just tell them to come out. So let us check if we are those types of people. Of course, if you don't have the strength to pull him out by yourself, you have to get help. But just because you don't want to get dirty, then if you don't want to help them, that's not acceptable. To save a person from a swamp, helping him actively with all your strength, this is goodness and love. But this is not only about not preaching and not taking care. This is also about some people who are committing sins. You just ignore them. Ignore the situation. Even though they are committing sins and they are going to hell. Thinking that, oh, they won't like my advice. Those who are evil, if you point out they're evil, they don't like it. If they want to repent, they will repent. You know, if their sins are pointed out, they'll be happy. But they don't like any kind of advice. But just because they don't like it, you just ignore them, then they will keep committing sins and they will eventually go to hell, fall into hell. So just watching it is not goodness. If they are going the way of destruction and death, you have to let them understand that they are doing so and you have to help them so that they can turn from their ways. Some people, they're doing evil, but they don't even know that they are doing evil. So with the truth, you have to be able to explain to them. And you feel that they wouldn't listen to you, so you just don't do it. You just ignore them. Ignore it. God says, this is not love. Just because they don't listen, they don't want to listen, you shouldn't just ignore that. You have to explain. You have to let them understand. You have to give advice. This is active action of goodness. And while, of course, you have to check whether while you are doing that, you are giving advice. You shouldn't have any kind of hard feelings. And when you give advice, you have to do it in a good way, with goodness. Suppose you are parents and you have children and they give excuses and they don't listen to you, so your voice is raised and finally it becomes a quarrel. This shouldn't happen. You shouldn't have any hard feelings. And because other people, they give excuses and they don't like it. And so you quarrel and you argue. This is your evil that you have to cast away. You have to control yourself in prayer. But you shouldn't stop giving advice to other to those who are going the way of hell. Oh, they are going the way of hell, but I don't have any strength to help them. What can I do? And you say goodbye and you just go your way. Then it means you are cold. You're cold-hearted. We have to remember how the Lord revived us, how the shepherd awakened us spiritually. So let us remember the grace we received, and we should also be able to awaken other people who are going the way of destruction. Just because they don't like your advice and you don't want to take the responsibilities for you, just ignore and look the other way. And it means you are not really trying to help others. Jesus was innocent. Is innocent and blameless. But he was not afraid of being criticized, of being friends of sinners. And he guided those sinners to the way of salvation. He drove away demons. He healed the sick and those who had infirmities. Evil people, when Jesus did good, evil people, they were not happy. They didn't praise him. They didn't commend him. And just because of that fact, Jesus didn't stop doing good. He just went on doing the good work. So to save others, you need some hard effort. So many people, but they don't want to do that. They don't want to put in any effort. It's much easier to be spectators. But that is something like a coward, something that is to be cold-hearted. So it is, of course, love to give advice and to try to turn them from evil ways. Just because they show evil, Jesus didn't say, oh, I don't want to have anything to do with them. Of course, he tried to let them understand, but he didn't quarrel. You know, quarrel is never goodness. He didn't quarrel, but he let them understand with the truth. But evil people, did they understand it and turn from their ways? No. They just kept on showing evil. For the moment when Jesus let them understand with the truth, they kept quiet for the moment. But later, they tried to criticize Jesus again. And Jesus didn't give up. He let them understand again. This is true love. But if you don't have love, you do it once or twice and you get tired and you get fed up. And you don't want to do it any longer. You just do what you do. You don't want to have anything to do with them. So you just don't like them. And you just become spectators, even though they are committing sins and going the way of hell. So sometimes you have to give them advice. So sometimes you have to wait for them so that they will be able to hear, listen to your advice. But this is, first you have to get rid of hard feelings from your heart. So this is the different steps you have to follow so you can have perfect blamelessness and innocence. Listening to the message, sometimes you might get confused. Do I have to give them advice or not? Do I have to watch them or do I have to become patient all the time? Sometimes it's hard to tell. I also sometimes got confused whether to give them advice or try to maintain peace. So to maintain peace, I mustn't give any advice. But sometimes it's not good to just watch them sin. So when you lack goodness and love, sometimes you get confused. So what do you have to do? First, you have to get rid of evil feelings, hard feelings. When other people are committing sins, you want to criticize them. You want to reveal their sins. This is something not good. Of course, you shouldn't do these things. But you have to try to let them understand and guide them to turn from their ways. So this is what you have to do. You have to discern between different situations. So that, and with your prayer, the Holy Spirit will let you understand what to do at each moment. If they can accept the advice and turn from their ways, God gives them chances again and again. He forgives them. So many people, when they met Jesus, they were totally changed. They lived a new life. For example, the case of Matthew, he became a disciple of Jesus. And also Mary Magdalene, who was misunderstood as a sinner, her body and mind were healed and recovered, and she loved Jesus more than anybody else. So let us remember that fact, that we received this kind of love from the Lord. We were not sinners who were hated by others. We shouldn't say that, but we were still sinners, and yet we were forgiven because Jesus was patient with us. So remember this fact and also show the same kind of love to other people as well. So Jesus showed only love to the people, and yet there were people who hated him and stood against him, as the high priests and priests and scribes, Pharisees. And by Jesus' appearance, their evil was revealed and they couldn't bear with it. So they showed more evil. They were the ones who knew the law of God. And these people were the ones who tried to kill Jesus. So in the same way, if you show signs and wonders of God, many people try to kill you. It's the same with Jesus' time. If in a church there are many signs and wonders that are written in the Bible, then everybody should rejoice together. They should give thanks to God because the Bible is proved to be true. But rather they condemn these churches with lies. Why would they do that? Because they themselves don't show the power. But in another church, there is the power of God. You teach the word of God. It will be done as you have believed. You teach, but there's no evidence. But in some other churches, in another church, the word is confirmed by the signs that follow. If that's the case, you have to learn from that pastor or from the church. But they don't try to learn, but they just criticize other churches. So this is what is happening in today's Christian world. And today you see, but of course, many churches, many pastors, they don't slander, they don't criticize they don't condemn the works that are taking place in the church. But of course, there are many pastors and churches who acknowledge these works and who try to learn these messages. So we once suffered. So you should never pass judgment on any other church, not just a church, but even individuals. You should never pass judgment on any individuals. Even at the time of Jesus, those who were evil, they tried to kill Jesus. They persecuted the believers. So these people are like the smoldering wick because they can't burn all the oil properly. So when the wick is smoldering, when the wood is almost put out, they give out fumes. So you have to put it out quickly because it gives out fumes. But Jesus didn't do so. There are people who are giving out evil just like smoldering wick. Smoldering wick gives out fumes. They give out evil, but Jesus didn't condemn them. He didn't want them to be destroyed. He just wanted them to turn from their ways. He just taught them with a word. So the scribes, Pharisees, the priests, they were like the smoldering wick, but Jesus still showed goodness to them. Also, Jesus harbored Judas Iscariot until the end with his blamelessness and innocence. Judas Iscariot, Jesus knew Judas wanted to sell him out, but he didn't discard him until the end. He harbored him just like all the other disciples, because he had the heart not to put out the smoldering wick. John 13:1 says, "Now before the feast of the Passover, Jesus, knowing that his hour had come and that he would depart out of this world to the Father, having loved his own who are in the world, he loved them to the end." He loved his disciples to the end. And one of them was Judas Iscariot. He didn't consider that he was going to be destroyed anyway. Jesus loved him until the end. If Jesus pointed out the evil and sins that Judas had in his heart, Judas would have reacted in more evil way. But Jesus showed only goodness to him, so Judas stayed with Jesus to the end. If Jesus revealed his identity early, then he would have left. Then God's providence wouldn't have been fulfilled. But Jesus waited until the time came, and he always tried to let him understand and treated him with goodness. So listening to this message, I was reminded of the shepherd. Our shepherd, he always waits for those who betrayed him to come back. In the beginning of the church, there was a pastor. He said he received some money to open a church, a branch church. And he just spent the money at his discretion, and he hid himself. And then he came back, and he asked the senior pastor. He spent some time in the church, and he asked the senior pastor again for money to open a branch church. What would other people have done? To accept that kind of person is not easy. But our senior pastor, he accepted him again, and when he said he'd open a branch church, and he gave him money again. But of course, those who betray, they betray again and again. Senior pastor did he help him because he didn't know he was going to betray him? No. He just wanted to let him live. He wanted to save him. We can understand this kind of love only when going to deeper and deeper, very deep level of goodness. Knowing that they're going to betray you, you still treat them with goodness. And with your good deed, you want them to repent. You help them financially. And even after you help them financially, you know that they are going to react in evil toward you. And yet you still help them, knowing that. But when you see them suffer, that suffering gives you so much pain that you cannot just refrain yourself from helping them. You have so much pity and compassion on them. So you want to help them so that they can be exempt, they can escape the current suffering. And you want them to repent. And even though they later show evil toward you, you still want to help them now. This is the depth of goodness. But if you don't cultivate that kind of goodness, you don't like them. Why would I have to forgive them again and again? Why do I have to help them? No, you don't understand that kind of goodness. But so now, let us understand the goodness, the level of goodness that shepherd has, and let us take after his example. So even though we are betrayed, even though we suffer, we should be able to forgive them and bless them. This is the heart of the Lord. This is purity of the Lord. Jesus loved Judas Iscariot to the end, harbored him to the end. But that doesn't mean Jesus just ignored Judas' sin. He tried to let him understand every time, from time to time. He expressed his earnestness. Matthew 26:24 says, "The Son of Man is to go just as it is written of him, but woe to that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It would have been good for that man if he had not been born." He wanted him to understand. He wanted him to realize. And finally, Jesus was sold out by Judas Iscariot, and he suffered the cross, and he was crucified. But of course, his death became the fulfillment of the providence of salvation for all mankind. All these sinners are like, all the sinners are smoldering wick, and but Jesus wanted even these people to be saved. So he opened the way of salvation through his sacrifice. For him to go this the way to fulfill the providence of salvation, Judas Iscariot was needed. And if Jesus forsook him, discarded him in the middle, midway, then God's providence wouldn't have been fulfilled. But not just for that reason, but Jesus really loved him to the end. So he harbored him to the end. Judas finally became the instrument to open the way of salvation for all mankind. Those evil people, they became the instruments to open the way of salvation. If maybe you think God can just get rid of those evil people right away, right from the beginning. But finally, that's not really the case. Finally, through those evil acts, evil things, God's glory will be revealed finally. God allows these things to happen so that we can learn a lot of things. And God's glory will be revealed even more greatly. So it was the secret hidden since before the ages. So we were saved through Jesus' crucifixion. So knowing everything, Jesus took everything in goodness and love. Brothers and sisters, let us take after the pure heart of the Lord, that we will not put out the smoldering wick, break off the battered reed. According to justice, they can't be saved. But you shouldn't give up on even these people. You still have to try. When you show goodness, some people, they show evil. But of course, you don't like the evil itself, but you have to, you must not hate them. Not breaking off better reed and not putting out a smoldering wick doesn't mean you have to just let the sinners be. You have to let them change. You have to give them advice. You have to advise them to change. So you have to understand both sides very well. In faith, there are people who are like better reed and smoldering wick. Romans 14:1 says, "No, now accept the one who is weak in faith, but not for the purpose of passing judgment on his opinions." Those who have weak faith, they don't have the strength. Some people, they don't have the strength to come to church by themselves. And because of some evil, they sometimes give hard time to others. They act in evil and they leave the church, and after they realize their wrongdoing, but they can't come back because they are so ashamed. So, you should be able to stretch out your helping hands and bring them back. This is what the senior pastor asked of us. Also about those souls that are like a smoldering wick, he explained to us that there are people who came to church later, but who advanced in spirit. In contrast, there are people who came to church early and they have some positions, but in spirit they are not really advanced. So those who came early but are slagging, those who are getting behind in spirit. Some of those people, they want to be loved, they want to be recognized, but they are heartbroken that they are not recognized. So sometimes they even slander those who are ahead. So it is like smoldering wick gives out fumes. In this case, those who are really ahead in spirit, they should understand those who are left behind, and they have to understand them. And they shouldn't think, oh, they give out this evil, so obviously they are not in spirit. And if they don't harbor them, it means they're not really good either. Also, talking about what is right and wrong and trying to break their opinion, that is not good. If you argue and quarrel, nothing good comes out of it. It is like putting out the smoldering wick. So you have to try to let everybody live. If you try to trample on anybody, it is not good. So when you give advice, when you rebuke somebody, you have to do it with intention to let them live, let them repent, and let them live. You must not do it with hard feelings. If you do it with hard feelings, it'll only let them give out more evil. So with your good deeds, you have to be able to move the heart of even those who are evil. And in the clean heart, you have to fill your clean heart with spiritual goodness so that you can give out deep aroma of Christ. Let me conclude the message. Today's reading passage, verse 21 says, "And in His name the Gentiles will hope." The name of the Lord is praised by people even today, until today, and it is the honorable name. And we, even in the eternal kingdom of heaven, will praise His glorious name. And it was because of His blamelessness and innocence. So let us keep this message in our heart. And let us be blameless and innocent as the leaders of the church, in the church, and workers of the Lord. And we'll be able to receive the same kind of glory. Wherever we are, let us give out the deep aroma of Christ so that we will be able to help out the dying souls who are like the smoldering wick and battered reed. Then, as in Deuteronomy chapter 26, verse 19, "And that He will set you high above all nations, which He has made for praise, fame, and honor, that you shall be a consecrated people to the Lord your God, as He has spoken." And He will fulfill this promise in us. In current situations, let us take after the example of our shepherd who has cultivated this blamelessness and innocence of the Lord. Even today, he is desiring the people to come back. Those people who attacked him, groundlessly accused him. And with that kind of heart, if we are waiting for them, when other people are harassing you, giving you a hard time, we'll be able to understand them, show them goodness, pray for them, intercede for them. Maybe, you know, those who attack the senior pastor, if they come back, you can accept them. But that is the shepherd's role. You know, if other people slander you, gossip about you, pass judgment and condemnation on you without a reason, you shouldn't react in any evil. You shouldn't fight back. But you have to wait for them to repent from their sins. You shouldn't have any kind of hard feelings, but you have to pray for them with love before God. You have to intercede for them. This is the way to take after the goodness of the shepherd. And the Father God is, that is what the Father God is requiring of us at this moment. This is the chance for us to have blamelessness and innocence during these days. If you quarrel, if you have hard feelings, if you suffer, then you'll reveal these hard feelings, evil feelings. That's not good. We know the goodness of the shepherd. So, we have to think about how we will apply this situation in our lives today. In doing so, in the God-given duty of the shepherd to fill New Jerusalem, let us be able to fill New Jerusalem through us. Let us pray together, thinking about the message.
Hallelujah, Almighty Father God of love. Please lay your hands on all brothers and sisters receiving this prayer here in attendance. Lay your hands on all the members of the branch churches and local sanctuaries, and all the GCN TV viewers, and those who are watching via satellites, cables, and internet all over the world. Plant faith in their hearts and drive out their negative thoughts and doubts. Let all the trials and afflictions leave them. By the fire of the Holy Spirit, from head to toe, scorch their sick and affected parts, including all cells, tissues, and nerves, all internal organs and intestines. Let the light of creation come upon them. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I command the enemy devil and Satan, all diseases, germs, and viruses, and infirmities go away. Let the light shine on them. Scorch their incurable and long-term diseases by the fire of the Holy Spirit. Burn all kinds of endemic and contagious diseases like malaria. All epidemic diseases such as colds and fever go away from them. Protect them, Father, from any kind of germs and viruses and bacteria. Heal them of all kinds of cancers, stomach cancer, lung cancer, liver cancer, breast cancer, womb cancer, intestinal cancer, and all other diseases like AIDS, leukemia, cerebral apoplexy, high blood pressure, low blood pressure, heart disease, lung disease, diabetes, women's disease, thyroid diseases, and all inflammations. Let them be made whole from the polio, stroke, arthritis, herniated discs, and many others. Let all kinds of pains disappear from them, like back pain, headache, and neuralgia. Set them free from epilepsy, autism, depression, neurosis, and all other mental diseases. Loosen them from all kinds of paralysis and let them get up, walk, and jump. Let them regain good eyesight and restore good hearing. Let the blind open their eyes. Let the deaf come to hear and let the mute begin to speak. Heal accidents after effects. Restore their ruptured and broken bones. Restore them from burns and let the heat and burning sensation go away from them. Father, let there be no scars left. Be cleansed from all kinds of drug addictions and poisoning. Father, regenerate dead nerves, tissues, and cells and bring the dead back to life. Bless them to conceive a baby. Father, please give them blessing to conceive a baby. In the name of Jesus Christ, I command the enemy devil and Satan, the ruler of the air, the evil forces and their servants, go away from them. Go away, evil spirits, unclean spirits, deceiving spirits, spirits of falsehood, separating spirits and all forces of darkness. Loosen all bonds of wickedness and darkness and go away from them. Let the light shine on them. Father God, give them strength to cry out in prayer and empower them with the power to cast off sins and become sanctified. Let them be in good health as their soul becomes prosperous, and let their family be evangelized. Protect them from all kinds of accidents and disasters, and bless them to lead a successful and prosperous life in everything. Please protect your children, their homes and business, and their work with the fiery hedge of the Holy Spirit, with heavenly hosts and angels, and with your blazing eyes. Give students wisdom and understanding, and fill their hearts with more passion and desire for study. Keep their hearts and minds from worldly things and plant into their hearts more fervent love for God. Bless your children and let them give glory to you in everything they do, whether they eat or drink or whatever they may do. Let them confess and testify to the living God, "I have met and experienced God and received His answers and blessings." Father God, thank you. Let all glory be to you alone. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen.